Gallery in Woolloomooloo. Thank you so much for joining us on the show, David. And Tanya Broward as well is here.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Julia. Thanks for having us.
No worries. So your exhibition interrogates the anxiety of the image. Can you explain what that means?
The anxiety of the image?
Yes.
My work riffs off this idea which is all about the ambivalence of modernity, where technology throws up new technology, which is intended to try to iron out the problems of the initial technology. And there's this constant reinvention of technology because of the problems that technology creates. I guess you could consider global warming as the ultimate problem that we face. I believe that the image is bound up in contemporary culture and society. I actually believe we're an image-based culture. And photography is the defining, I believe, art medium of our time because of that. So for me, the saturative nature of the image and the technology behind it is very disruptive in our lives. And I believe that this has an ambient trauma attached to it, the constant disruption of the speed and acceleration of the technology creates an ambient trauma. So my work's all about the post-traumatic urbanist. And I link my current exhibition to contemporary events around trauma, events such as, but not specifically, about 9/11, other events of that sort of scale and amplitude, which is still, I believe, still echoing now today.
Wow. And so this isn't your first exploration into architecture. You've taken a lot of dystopian images before, featuring brutalist buildings, are quite divisive for their confronting aesthetic, you could argue. What draws you to these kinds of buildings or this dystopian feel?
Yeah, I guess for me, brutalism is anything but dystopian. Brutalism for me was architecture that was born actually out of World War II. I don't want to go too deeply into it, but Hitler's Atlantic Wall, the bunker systems that were created there, were the proto-brutalist structures. And a lot of artists and writers post-World War II, such as J.G. Ballard, David Bowie, they were inspired by a lot of the architecture that those proto-structures were inspired by. So a lot of the social housing that was constructed in post-war Europe was cement-moulded structures. Inspired by the Hitler's bunkers. So that architecture was actually architecture for the people. It was to give people a place after the war, and it needed to be built quickly and cheaply because of the context that it was in. So I see it as a utopian form of architecture. Unfortunately, as we all know, all utopias fail. And that's the reality of humanity. But there's nothing wrong with dreaming about utopias. So architects like Le Corbusier, who designed the Unit de Habitation, which was the seminal brutalist structure, that structure has inspired so many artists and architects ever since. I use that as a foundation to build and develop my work. I don't necessarily photograph brutalist structures, but I do make a lot of models that riff off brutalism. And that's the post-traumatic urbanist work is actually models and dioramas that have a brutalist feel. Mm. Yeah.
Right. I mean, if only we knew about the history of brutalism, or if everyone did, they would appreciate the exterior. But yes, there is a large history behind that. And so, as you just said, the post-traumatic urbanist features models, dioramas, video installations and sculptures. Had you experience with these forms before, or what did you like about these different forms?
I guess for me, I used to get a bit frustrated trying to find photographs. So rather than trying to find them in the spirit of Thomas de Mant, I started to build my own photographs. By making sets and structures myself and my own architectural visions. Mm-hmm. And I would try to develop those visions into a cohesive body of work, which is the post-traumatic urbanist series. There's also some video work as well, which is combined in the show tonight.
And I think the structures are really interesting because they actually hold a lot of tension, but also they sort of they have an anxiety within them, and I do think that the structure of even or the echo of the brutalist in there, and also the feeling or the dissection of where we are now in society that's coming through your work, I think it's really fascinating, and they take you beyond the surface of the photo when you look at them, and they take you into this other world, really. I think they're really fascinating. Yeah. Like
hopefully
that.
They're contemplative as well.
Oh, totally.
Part of the idea is to slow things down a little bit and give people a contemplative space to look at architecture, perhaps in a different light.
Yeah. And also that you reframe yourself in juxtaposition with the work when you look at it, and I think that's really fascinating. And some of them do really take you in the picture and take you beyond that, and then you start questioning, you know, where are we and what's really happening and what is the disturbance. I think they're fascinating like that to look at.
I mean, and that's why art is so fantastic, and its role in society, I guess, is to make us think.
Totally.
Or just enjoy the pretty pictures.
Yes, true. So photography isn't the only medium you use. For example, in 2012, you produced your own original album.
That's correct.
With Jason Buckley and John Coben, entitled Art in a Cold Climate. Was this used in one of your past exhibitions, or how do you feel this kind of media brings different experiences to your artworks?
The artwork that was used for the CD and album covers was my own artwork. Mm. But Art in a Cold Climate was a project that I did post a band who's actually played in the studios here at 2SER in the 90s called the Luton Girls Choir, and they were produced by John Coben. Art in a Cold Climate was the culmination of 20 years of music playing. And it was an album where I just basically wrote all the songs and recorded the whole album myself with Jason on drums. We'd spent a lot of time working with other people, and we just wanted to work as a rhythm section. And Art in a Cold Climate came from that. So if Jason's listening, hello, Jason. Good to see you.
Multi-talented. Yeah. That's fantastic. And then in 2012, in the same year, you were selected as one of 16 Australian artists to be published in the third instalment of the Hijacked Contemporary Photography series. And your work was alongside artists from all over the UK and Australia. How was that experience?
That was terrific. So my work was alongside artists such as Tracy Moffat. So a wonderful experience. The exhibition Hijack 3, which was a publication produced by the amazing Mark McPherson, who's based in Perth, went on pretty much a world tour. It started at the Perth Institute of Contemporary Art, 16 Australian artists, 16 UK artists, and it was a cross-cultural convergence. And then the exhibition travelled through the UK, parts of Europe, parts of Asia and Australia as well. So it was... The culmination was actually the book Hijacked 3, the publication, Contemporary Photography from Australia and the UK, but there's two previous hijacks as well. And if you're interested in photography, they're a wonderful survey of Australian photography, linking up with countries such as Germany to get that cross-cultural reference and other America as well. So, yeah, beautiful publications, lovely, beautiful work. And I was really lucky to be, to be picked to be one of the Australian artists. Yeah, it was terrific.
Well, congratulations. And thank you so much for your time today, David and Tanya, and good luck for tonight's show.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd just like to thank Tanya for getting the show up and running.
Yes. Would you like to talk about the show tonight, Tanya? Just a little
Please come on down to 220 tonight. We're just down from the Coca-Cola sign in the famous King's Cross.
There you go. Near the train station.
And 2-minute walk from King's Cross train station.
Convenient, yeah.
And we're open all weekend as well, and next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But we're incredibly proud to have David Manley's show on tonight and on at 220, and the calibre of his work is really something to be seen. And so we really encourage everyone to come down and have a conversation with us tonight.
Okay, well, great. Hopefully they do.
Yeah.
Everyone go.
And on the weekend, we're there, and David will be in and out, and we know all about the work, and we'd love you to come and participate and not miss this show at all.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time
today.
Thank
you, Julia.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.